Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share the show with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. Just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting or running their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Buddy.
David.
For the first time in a long time, I didn't even realize this. I feel hopeful.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. That was nice. I just timed it just right.
Cracked this.
What is that?
I don't know. I found it in my fridge. It's called a buzz ball.
That's weird.
We had family in town over the weekend. They probably left it. It's 17% alcohol, so we're going to...
Goodness gracious. For you, that's like half a bottle of whiskey.
Tasty.
Yeah. No, I didn't realize how much I think just the bombardment of bullshit over the last month and me thinking in the back of my head that Kamala was going to be our president, like, was depressing me.
Yeah.
It's like afterwards, like the next day I woke up and I was like, oh, and
the
then it became more clear, like, how much of a landslide it was, you know? And I just kept thinking, man, I'm hopeful. Like, I had to check myself. Yep. Like, was I depressed before? Was I not looking forward to what was happening?
Right.
Man, hopeful. Well, hopeful is my word of the month.
At least two, because Trump won the popular vote.
Oh, yeah. Did you see that stupid, fat, dumb Rosie O'Donnell bitch? She posts a video right after. This is why we have to go to popular vote. This is why we have to change the rules. And I'm thinking, this dumbass doesn't even know that he won the popular vote. It's like, what are you...
That's what I'm saying. Like, the moment Trump wins by the Electoral College and doesn't win the popular vote, you have to hear everybody saying, we should get rid of the Electoral College. Yeah. We should abolish it. And then now you don't even have to hear that because he won both.
Yeah. I don't understand. Like, when Biden won, like, there were questions.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, serious questions about the validity of the election. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't a giant outcry of, we have to change the way this works so we can win.
Yeah.
Every time Democrats lose, that's what it is. We have to change the rules so we can win.
Well, that's the only way they win.
They
don't actually perform. They just change the rules.
It's freaking insane to me. Yeah. Like, what kind of little childish temper tantrum do you have to throw every time you don't get your way?
That's my whole problem with DEI.
Yeah.
Is because it's like, okay, we want to have these minorities get good jobs. We want to have these minorities get, you know, well-paying jobs and be hired at the same rates. But instead of solving the problem at the source of making sure that they have the right education and the right everything else,
they just
required people to hire them.
Yeah, with no training.
With no training.
And yeah, it's like, and then they fall on their face, and then
that's
they can't
progress.
Well, and they can't move up from there.
Well, and that's holding everybody back.
Yeah, it holds everyone back. It's crazy to me. Like, and just to go back to what I was saying, you know, Trump got 75 million votes this year.
Uh-huh.
In 2020, he got 74 something.
Mm-hmm.
Kamala got 71 this year.
Uh-huh.
Biden got 81.
Yeah.
So you're telling me 10 million people just were like, nope, we're not going to vote for her, but we're not voting for him either.
10 million people that have never voted in any other election ever.
That's my point. Yeah. So were we stuffing ballot boxes during COVID?
Yeah.
Like, we're never going
to... It's not looking good.
We're not going to know, ever really know.
Yeah.
But it's either, whatever. Either they were cheating,
mm-hmm.
okay, which I think they probably were,
mm-hmm.
or 10 million people literally said, no, this is fucking insane. I'm not vote. She's an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, and I love the...
I have heard from a couple of people that didn't vote because they were torn between being able to afford groceries and women's rights. And so they
didn't vote.
They chose Good. Not to vote.
Good. Dumbasses. Thank
they,
you.
They may be part of the 10 million. I don't know. But
appreciate you.
Yeah. We talked about it previously on the show. It's like, you know, I buy groceries every day. Like, that's a real thing that impacts my life daily.
Yeah.
I don't think abortion impacts.
It's like you're telling me you're hoeing around where you're having to get an abortion more than you get groceries.
I love it.
Right.
It's not even that. Like, so in the after effects of this election, like I've been getting crushed, not crushed, but like I've been saying a lot of stuff and this and that. And people are like, how could you vote for someone who is a sexual abuser and, you know, this and that? And look, he had sexual allegations. He got called guilty on one, which I think was bullshit. You know, and they're like, that's their big pillar. Mm-hmm. You can't have a loser like that. And I'm thinking the whole time I'm thinking, I think I even posted it. Like, do you not remember when Bill Clinton was in office, used his presidential power to sleep with an intern in the Oval Office while being married? Oh, no one gives a fuck about that.
Right.
But these allegations.
No one cares about Kamala's rise to popularity.
No, because she's a woman and like those guys were demeaning to her. Yeah. She didn't choose that.
Yeah.
I mean, come the fuck on, people.
It's kind of hard to claim rape when you're on top.
Yeah. Or don't bite something. Yeah. It's just like, it makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
And you know, this even happened on The View, which I can't believe it even on TV. I watched it because I was like, I want to see like the insanity.
They showed him Freud basically.
Oh man, yeah. It's insane. But they were even like, one of them was on there saying, you know, we have to look internally at like why we didn't win these votes.
I saw this.
Like why didn't we get, and all the other dumb.
Some of the most racist ever.
The idiots on the other side are like, no, it's their fault. It's their fault. It's their fault. No. Well, okay. So if Trump got the exact same votes, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. A million more people came out and voted that probably didn't vote last time.
Yeah. 1/70th more votes.
But you lost 10 million votes. Doesn't that speak to your message and what you're about?
Yeah.
Like, I just, it's so stupid, man.
The capstone to the whole thing is.
Capstone, that's nice.
Kamala finished, she raised $1 billion.
Yeah, and wound up in the hole.
And wound up $20 million in debt.
Yeah.
And lost, but yet she had the secrets to fix our economy.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that was my other big argument on some stuff.
You can't even run a campaign.
Yeah, I people were saying this and that and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, so everything that I've said as far as, you know, Biden not being a great president and this and that, that's fine. I said, the real issue is she never came out and said, I want to do this instead.
Yeah.
She just was silent. She had no, like, how can you not look at your own? Don't blame all of us.
You just cackle look in and
your,
laugh.
Yeah,
and
look in your own party
about
and go.
Starbucks and lipstick.
How did we not, you know, get our message across? Maybe because there was no message.
I will say, as a filmmaker, sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, thanks a lot, ass.
So they basically they spent $600,000 on the set design for the Call Our Daddy podcast. We could go out and build that set ourselves for like $400. Like,
yeah.
Right.
I don't know if you've seen it. Have you seen it?
No.
It's just a simple backdrop with some portraits hanging on. Like, dude, like, we could go out to.
That's called government waste.
That's government mismanagement of funds.
Like, you talk about like you're producing the pilot of your show, $70,000. They could produce a 30-minute episode for a fraction of the cost.
Well, it's like the Blair Witch
like
Project.
They made the Blair Witch Project
for like $20,000 and made like $10 million or some kind of crazy numbers.
Yeah,
that I'm pulling out of my
ass.
What
you can do when nobody's taking paychecks.
Yeah,
and it's all volunteer.
It's insane. I love that Elon's going to be part of a government efficiency program, like and do overseeing of wasteful spending.
The Department of Government Efficiency, Doge.
I love it.
Yep.
Like how. That's my other argument with all these idiots that are like, well, Trump this and Trump that. Like, you know, he's not a government politician. Like, he's not part of the establishment. He wants to clean up the bullshit. Like, that in and of itself is worth having him in there.
Yeah. The cool part is you look at the age of a lot of the members that are going to be coming in and enacting change, and we're getting back to the ages or the eras of young, eager, aggressive, competent individuals back leading our country. Like, our country was founded on
by fucking go-getters,
by 20 and 30 year olds.
Yeah.
And now we have all of these dementia ridden, you know, declining 70 year olds trying to run our country that are just out of fucking touch.
Yeah.
And so we get some young guys in there. We got the youngest vice president ever in history.
I love me some J.D. Vance.
God,
I didn't even
cool.
know who he was. After hearing him speak a few times, it's like, oh,
Man, he is
like when the teleprompter
forever.
When the teleprompter shuts off, he doesn't go.
He was like, talking. He's talking to Tucker Carlson, and like basically that was Don Jr.'s idea to have him on. And he said he had a conversation with his dad, and he's like, I don't get a whole lot of, you know, capital from my dad, but my dad said that's a great one because apparently there's like Trump has this thing where apparently it's like if you're gonna say something like. Like, you know, you can only use up so much capital as far as like suggestions.
Yeah.
Right.
And that was one of his, was J.D. Vance.
Yeah. Yeah. The guy's bright. And I hope that after 4 years of progress, that he has a real chance of being the next president.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Let's hope.
I mean, I know that's a long way to look into the future, but it's like,
well,
maybe there is a little hope.
Typically,
you know?
Go. Like, it's so crazy. The same people tend to vote the same way over time, and there's very few Americans that are actually, like, swing voters.
Yeah.
You know, but...
I think they're finally starting to open their eyes, though.
Maybe. You might see some people that are like, I guess, you know, I'm 40, and I've never had an abortion, and now I've had a hysterectomy, so I can't have an abortion. Maybe I shouldn't put abortion as a high priority on my political checklist.
If Republicans were smart right now, they would introduce a bill that's like the one in Europe where it's 16 weeks. You can get an abortion up to 16 weeks. And then if you have, like, if it's rape, incest, or if it's your life is in danger, you can have one regardless.
Yeah.
And then just put this fucking thing to bed and get the fuck on down the road. That would be the smart thing. Whether they do that or not, whether I agree with that or not, regardless, you know, or if all the states for the next in 2 years when they have the midterms and all that would just go ahead and vote on it and get it in their state. So the federal government's out of it, which is what we all really want.
Right.
Fuck the federal government. Then it's over.
Right.
Like, just let's move the fuck on.
Yeah. Yeah. I just
let God sort it out at the end.
Touch on that. I just can't believe that there's that many people that it's impacting. So I listened back to our podcast where we talked about this recently.
One or two ago?
Yeah, and I think you're hitting the nail on the head. It's not that it affects me personally. I just don't want to be told what to do.
Yeah,
and
that's it.
And yeah, so, I mean, I get that. I just...
My brother has
I'm told that I can't go over 70 miles an hour on the highway.
Well, like, I do sometimes.
You know, I know.
Yeah.
But, like, we're told what to do in everything. You can't title your car without being told what to
but
do.
It's not,
you know?
But it's not as personal.
Right.
It's not as interpersonal.
I saw I heard of this blueprint poll and just looking at like why Kamala lost. And like with swing voters, it was the transgender issue. And not because of trans issue itself. It's just that like when you get into like affirming someone's belief, when you're basically, it's almost like against reality. And people saw it as like, there was a commercial that Trump put out and was basically like, Kamala's for they, them, Trump is for you. And apparently that ad... was effective with
swing
voters.
Did you see, I think I posted it yesterday. My sister and I had some banter back and forth, and she was like, well, why would you support Trump? And I mean, it's huge.
Mm-hmm. Like, how much time do you have?
Yeah, it was like, she was like, well, why didn't you respond? And I was like, when I get a minute, I will.
Yeah,
and I mean,
like,
it took me a half hour to type it up. But like, one of my main points was the transgender issue. Yeah. I don't care if you're gay. I don't give a fuck. Do whatever you want. If you're over 18 and want to dress like a woman, that's fine. Don't expect me to pretend that you're a woman.
Yeah.
And even that, and this is what I wrote, even that I can look past, but when you try to tell me what I can do with my child, as far as you're going to strip away my parental rights and before she's 18,
right.
Fuck off.
Right.
Like that is like, there are only a few things in this world that I would kill someone for and not even think twice about it. And my kid's one of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it goes with the abortion and the healthcare thing, though.
Yeah.
Like, people, when it comes to that very interpersonal agenda, excuse, right, whatever you want to call it, like, they take that to heart and will not budge.
Yeah.
And I won't budge on my shit either. It's like, fuck you. No, I'm not having it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of people that are dying on that hill.
And
for me, like, again, I don't have a daughter, right?
It's a little different.
I feel like I don't have a dog in the fight, which...
Technically, you do. Is that a bracelet my daughter made you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I came to you and I was like, Mitch, we got to bury this body, you'd be like, where's, you got an extra shovel or do I bring my own?
Yeah. Right.
Like, no,
it's just one of those things where it's like, I've got a lot more important and pressing issues that are affecting my life directly than abortion that I'm not voting on that one.
Yeah.
You know,
and I responded, to a lot of those people with, you know, if you're that worried about it, what's going to happen is the states are going to put these issues in place and we're going to be able to actually vote.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing on The Void and you want even more info, we just started a mentorship program specifically for trades professionals to start their business or to get their business to an incredibly healthy position. So if you'd like more info, click on the link in the description of this show.
Missouri passed yes on theirs, mm-hmm. and there's transgender bullshit in there. Mm-hmm. But you know what? That's what the people wanted. That's what they voted for. They actually had the choice. I am willing to accept it. They had the choice and they voted on it. Right. Okay? Let it go.
Yeah.
It's over.
You know what's funny is a lot of my friends locally haven't said a word about three passing, but they're talking about how traumatized they are that Trump's going to be back in president.
You know what? Maybe you should kill yourself. Well, losers.
No, what it is they
move onward.
It literally just goes to show that even they don't care about it. Like, I haven't seen one celebratory post about three passing Amendment 3
yeah.
for Missouri. Amendment 3, for those that don't know, Amendment 3 for Missouri was, do we allow abortions?
And parental consent and all that sort of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it had some, obviously yeah. a whole lot more in it, but essentially it was, do we allow abortions in Missouri? And it passed.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a surprising thing for Missouri, because Missouri is typically one that would say no.
Oh, it's a dark red state.
Yeah. And so the fact that it passed, I haven't seen a single celebratory post about that, which tells me it was like a pawn in their game. But like,
it was a pawn in their game to get you to vote the other way.
Right.
That's exactly
right.
What the fuck
nobody
it was.
Nobody actually cared about it passing. They were just trying to leverage that subject on a whole bunch of other stuff. And that's what I mean. Like, even the people that wanted it don't care. Like, I haven't seen one single celebratory post about it. So it's just kind of a weird thing for me.
It is weird.
Yeah, like, it should be a thing that's technically taken out of the debates on the federal level. But like, unfortunately, it was still brought up. And then Trump is just like, what do you mean? It's not even in our control anymore.
Right.
Yeah. So like, his messaging could have been better on that. Like, I think he should have come out and been like, look, this is exactly what that means.
Yeah.
It means that the government has no say.
Yep.
Your state gets to vote, which means you get to vote. You don't get to vote for a republic or a representative and then they cast what their opinion vote is.
Yeah.
It's actually your vote counts at the state level versus people are, you know, their big complaint is, well, my vote doesn't count as much at the federal level because of the Electoral College. But at the state level, every fucking vote counts.
Yeah. It's popular.
So what are you bitching about?
Yep.
They literally wrote V. Wade being turned over literally gave power back to the people to decide what they wanted. Kansas passed an abortion. Okay. Missouri did the same thing. Okay. People spoke.
Yeah.
Okay. It literally allowed you to get your way, yet you're still using it as leverage at the federal level.
Well,
stop being a dipshit.
What kind of threw him is like, there's a story that broke like literally the day before or just before about that lady had some complications and sort of like died under the care of trying to get like post-abortion care or something like that. But that story had just broken, so Trump didn't know anything about it. It was like JD.
That's also a 1 in 400 million chance.
Well, JD took that and was basically, no, like actually what happened was like there was some malpractice on the hospital side and there was some sort of like she was waiting to go to the hospital and it was like, it wasn't like there was this narrative like, women everywhere just bleeding out in parking lots.
Well, and so
that's what they do.
Yeah. What's funny though is whenever they were trying to whenever they were trying to mandate everybody to get vaxxed, nobody cared about the repercussions that come from the vaccinations.
No, yeah. and there's been like 15 young men,
all the strokes
under 20 die.
Yeah,
like
all the sudden adult death syndrome, which never existed before COVID and before the vaccinations.
Yeah.
And now we have this. You know, we had SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, and now we have SADS.
Which was them suffocating.
Yeah.
Was most of it.
Now we have SADS, which is unexplainable sudden adult deaths. And it's like, that's kind of weird. You push this vaccination that was untested. And
yeah, that's one of those things that Janine got, the Pfizer one.
Yeah.
So she was working at the hospital.
Yeah, she had to at the hospital.
Well, she didn't have to. She could have went down the road of wear a mask, don't do it, do whatever. But they like put so much red tape in place. And she asked me, and we talked about it. I said, babe, I want you to do whatever you want to do.
Right.
If you want to take it, take it. If you don't, don't. I'm worried that it hasn't been tested.
Yeah.
Like, we had those conversations, and she took it. She's been fine. You know, hasn't got any boosters since. That's been, was that 20? I guess that would have been 20 or 2021. I can't remember when she actually was
right.
basically forced to take it. But it's like I worry about that.
Yeah.
Like long-term effects, you know, luckily I got a big insurance policy on her and you, and if, you know, anything happens, I'm rich and driving Ferraris, it's fine. But like, at what point is it just too much?
Right.
Enough is enough. Like, come on.
So 3 years ago, today.
Today.
This came up on my Facebook memories.
I've had a bunch coming up lately since you forced me to be on Facebook, you asshole.
So somebody posted in a community group that they were looking for plumbers. They were needing a plumber. And so I commented like I always do. I tagged our business in it and everything else. They replied to my comment and they said, I'm looking for plumbers. They said, are your plumbers vaxxed and do they wear a mask?
Oh, I remember this.
This was three years ago.
We talked about this. Yeah.
And
this is so good.
and so I replied to their comment and I said, we can always wear a mask if you'd like. And they said, okay, I'll let you know. Thanks. Somebody else jumps into the conversation and says, you didn't answer the question about being vaccinated. So I replied to their comment. And this was three years ago.
Yeah, this is good.
I said, that's a question I don't feel that we can answer legally due to the private nature of each individual's personal health care choices.
Yeah, it's a HIPAA violation.
Yeah. And then a couple other people. So I screenshotted that whole thing and I made my own post on my personal page about it. And a couple of people jumped in and one person said HIPAA doesn't apply to businesses, only healthcare facilities. And it's like, no, it absolutely does. Yeah, HIPAA is about private.
Yeah, it's about keeping your medical shit private. Yeah.
And
dumb fucks, man.
And it's like, imagine if I walked into a customer's house and I asked for passing STD results for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
You would think I'm a nut job.
Yeah. I'm in your sewer and I don't want to get herpes.
Yeah.
Like, have you been tested in the last three weeks?
Can you imagine the outcry?
You'd be crucified.
That if I demanded those kinds of things, and yet here's these people trying. Yeah. Now, granted, I'm so glad we're 3 years from that.
God, I am too.
So,
dude,
we still have morons wearing masks by their car or in their car by themselves.
Dude, I'm not shitting you. There's a guy at fucking Home Depot that works there that still wears one. Young guy. He's got to be like 28. 35-ish, somewhere in there.
Rainbow color.
It's not rainbow color, but it's scraggly and nasty. And he asked me how I was the other day. And I said, why are you wearing a fucking mask, dude?
Yeah.
He just walked away. I was like, I had had a few beers. I was mad.
Yeah.
I was working on Nate's hutch.
My body, my choice, right?
Yeah. And I'm just like, he walks by and I'm like, why are you, can I help you? I said, why are you wearing a fucking mask, bro? And he just turned and walked away. I was like, well, it's hard to get a fucking rise out of somebody when they don't even, like, just see ya.
I feel like we could eradicate that problem if just everyone just grouped together and every time you see someone wearing a mask, just like you're an anonymous user on social media, just everyone just call it out while you're wearing a mask.
I don't care that they're wearing one. And if they, like, if they have an immune disorder or whatever and they need to wear one, like, even for flu or whatever. But if I ask you, like, answer the question. Like,
here's the bullshit part about it. That mask is made from fabric that they bought at Hobby Lobby.
I know. They
don't
work.
Show me the surgical benefits of it.
I know. And it was, too. It was a blue fabric. It wasn't an N95.
Why do surgeons wear masks?
So their spit doesn't fall into your shit.
So their spit doesn't fall into your body. Yeah. Their mask keeps you safe.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you're that sick that you need to be wearing a mask, maybe you need to not be at work. Right? If we're worried about your spit getting me sick.
Oh, he was worried about being sick. I guarantee it. I guarantee that fat little pudgy bastard with the scraggly beard that works at Home Depot in Blue Springs, Missouri.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I want to get the fucking COVID.
This mask is health.
I've had COVID twice.
No, you're 200 pounds obese. Or 200 pounds overweight. That's not health.
He wasn't that heavy, but he was.
Right.
He was stocky fella.
Yeah.
You know, just like, man, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah.
I'm just looking for attention. That's the answer.
Remember that ad that was out? I think it was the Maryland Department of Health, and they had to pull it because it said getting a
I don't know what you're talking about.
It said getting a vaccination is so much easier than losing the weight.
Oh my God.
They were encouraging people like don't actually get healthy. Just get stabbed with health instead.
Oh my God. That is awful.
Yeah. They had to pull it and then they had to retract it, you know, like the whole apology thing, and
had to have a little retort there, did we?
No, the cringiest thing was Jimmy Kimmel on SNL or whatever his night.
That vaccination dance.
he had a song.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about him crying.
No,
No, that was embarrassing. Yeah, it's like,
was it Kimmel that cried?
Little him.
Yeah. So the next day, like Trump got elected, he's on his show crying. Stephen A. Smith, black guy, ESPN analyst. I don't like him. I really don't. He's a fucking asshole douche. But he like came on. And he was like, dude, why would you? It's not that fucking important. No. Like, what the fuck is the matter with you?
Yeah. Some people are acting like they're pitching for their candidates. As if their candidate's going to hear him and like giving him an award.
Well,
you know, hey, David, thanks for standing up for Trump. Here's a ribbon. We're going to fly Trump out to you in the presidential motorcade. And you get to stand on stage and you get to speak. Like,
dude, if President Trump wanted to come and meet me, I'd be
about it. But these people are campaigning for these candidates as if the candidate's hearing it.
Well, they're campaigning. You know what I mean? What's crazy is, and I've been debating on posting this on Facebook, but like, I've wanted to post to all my Democrat voter friends that are extremely upset and the world's going to end and it's over. What do you think is actually going to happen in the world that it's going to be over because he's in there?
Yeah.
Until that question is posted to them, I bet they have no fucking answer. Like, until they were to actually think about it and be like,
I've seen,
you know what?
I've seen some of my hard left friends be like, you know, I'd hate to be a handicapped person in America for the next 4 years. And they just leave it at that. And I'm like, what in the world about Trump's presidency?
It makes no sense.
It makes no sense. But it just shows you how much bullshit they've
been fed.
Well,
it shows you it, not just bullshit, but how stupid they are.
Yeah.
It shows their ignorance on a real fucking level.
Makes it really easy to find the ones that are unstable and to stay away from because they all have their Facebook and Instagram profiles as a black square right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So,
oh my God, we got to join.
You see all black on the profile picture or on the cover photo. Tread lightly.
Dude,
that person's not quite stable.
I have been, so I've told you this on the last couple of shows. I'm on some kind of forward blue fucking Democrat list, and I haven't opted out because I like reading them. The ones I've been getting lately are, we have to fight back. The only way we can get away from Trump extremists is to donate money.
Yeah.
Because we're in debt.
To the blue forward.
Yeah.
And to Bob Casey in his Pennsylvania race. Look, motherfuckers, the votes have already been cast.
Yeah.
So what are you doing with the money?
Yeah.
Like, the fear mongering that's going on right now.
Well, you know why they're doing this, right? Extreme,
with enough money, we can change the climate.
Well, they can bail out Kamala for $20 million.
Yeah.
They can do all kinds of things. Sure, yeah. But it's just literally they're using fear.
Oh, yeah.
To manipulate monetary donations to them. How is that not fucking illegal?
I don't know.
I mean,
it goes the other way too.
This is my problem. Well, I'm not getting any of those. I didn't get any of those when Biden got elected.
Right.
I didn't get any Republican emails that said we have to fight and kill and destroy.
Well,
they
do it that way because if Kamala gets in, you're going to lose your guns. If Kamala gets in.
I didn't get any of them after.
You know.
Well, after the election was over, I didn't get any.
Yeah. Well, I know enough about marketing to know that they can laser target exactly who they want those to go to.
They knew I wasn't giving them any fucking money. Well, why am I getting blue ones? They know how I vote.
Well, there's going to be mistakes there, but like, they're not going to, Trump's not going to send me ads because he knows I'm voting for him.
That's true.
You know what I mean? He's not going to waste ad dollars trying to get his message in front of me.
Yeah.
They're spending their ad money trying to get the message in front of the swing voters.
See, they were smart. They went like, Democrats are still hung up on like legacy media. Like, yeah, like Trump and Vance going like Rogan and Theo and all these people.
Man, I tell you what, that CNN has been tanking for like 3 years.
Yep.
They're finally, like they've said, we're going to, you know, all these jobs are going away and they're doing this. Fucking good.
Yeah.
I'm sick of the, and even on Fox News, like I'm sick of the Fox News stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like, man, can we just get to like what the facts are and what's going on?
Yep.
Like, that's why I watch Newsmax a lot. I watch News Nation a lot. I read a lot of reports and then just try to make up my own mind about what's going on.
That's why I filter a lot of what I see on social media, because that's the public's response to what's going on, not some slighted agenda pitched by a media with a narrative.
Yeah.
You know? And so, like, I love it that Missouri put abortion on the ballot and Missourians voted and spoke, and we see Missouri's answer. Because now we see true what people think.
Yeah.
Instead of what the media tries to want you to think people think.
The only thing I don't like about that number three, like, so I voted no, but I don't like there's some transgender bullshit in there. Mm-hmm. I don't like that.
Yep.
But it's like, like, what do you do?
Yeah.
Like, you can't, you know, you can't win them all.
Right.
Right.
Like, best case scenario, it gets taken off, like, so that off the table for Republicans to have to defend, because they've always had to defend it for 40 years, and now
I think the parental right thing, all that stuff is going to go to the courts regardless.
Yeah.
And so, like, that part may be pulled. So yeah. I'm not losing my mind, and I'm not going on Facebook, and I'm not.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
That's also, like, an issue that's not going to affect me personally. Like, I manage my house. The government's not going to come in and tell me what my kid can or can't do.
Yeah, I love I've been getting crushed too. Like, oh, you have a daughter, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. And I'm like,
call my daughter a hoe, because she's not.
I tell my daughter these couple of words every once in a while that'll solve all of those daddy issues later on, and those words are, I love you.
Yeah, like my house is under control. Yeah. I'm not worried about, well, what if something happens? Well, I
will handle it as an adult.
Handle it.
It's my responsibility.
When it comes up.
Yeah.
Like, if I have to raise another extra kid, because we had I will fucking do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then hopefully it's a boy, and it's my grandson, and I can take him out hunting and fishing and shit. Right. Like, stop.
Silver linings.
Stop with the freaking, I have to dictate what your household is going to be.
Yeah.
You know, like, let me just handle my shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm more of a libertarian, I think, than probably Republican, but I don't have a choice, so I have to vote that way, right?
Yeah.
It's like, less government, more personal accountability.
Yep.
That's what we need.
Andy Frisella says it best, personal excellence is the ultimate rebellion.
I'm telling you, man.
The more you can, and personal independence is the ultimate rebellion, too.
Yeah.
Right?
Trump's agenda is also getting the Department of Education off the federal level, too.
Yeah. And
it's great.
And hopefully healthcare is going to, like, he wants to make the country healthier.
Yeah.
RFK, baby.
Goodbye,
I mean,
red 40 and yellow 5, or yellow 40 and red 5.
That's fine. Get that shit the fuck out of here. Yep. I hate all that crap. Yeah. I hate eating. You know what? That's a whole other topic for a whole other day.
Yeah.
You know, we've been talking for 30 minutes. Do you want to get on to anything important, or do you want me to just ramble?
I'm just letting you go.
I can talk for 30 more minutes about how much I love what happened and how relieved I feel.
Yeah. There's been a peace in the air, I will say that.
Yeah.
That ain't no lie.
Preach, brother.
So, kind of in similar context, what I want to talk about today is when the going gets tough, the tough keeps moving. And
the tough keeps moving. I like it.
And so, like, our job is to go forward as fast as possible. But
Wait. We think our job is to go forward as fast as possible. Losers do not.
Yeah, losers just want to take life for what it is. My wife and I were having this conversation yesterday, actually, about how little effort you can put forth in life and still make it out the other side.
Yeah.
Right? There's so much government assistance programs. There's so much common sense laws out there that basically...
Well, in this country, like, is so great, you can just coast and be fine.
Yeah, you would have to try. Like, you'd have to intentionally make bad decisions to take steps backwards.
It's funny you say that. I was reading something the other day that was top 5% of money earners in this country, their net is $2.7 million.
Okay.
That's it. Their net worth, 2.7. Yeah. Top 5%.
Yeah.
To get to 2%, it's only like 5.6, I think is what it was.
Yeah.
That's not, dude, that's...
That's not very much.
That's not very much.
Right.
Like, that's not a lot. And it's like, so you're telling me the top 25% are only worth $150,000?
Yeah, 200,000?
And those people are, half of those people are just coasting.
Yeah.
You literally have to just be a piece of shit or not willing to work.
You got to be rowing in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You can sit in that canoe and go down river.
Yeah.
And you're going to get to the end.
You know, all these, not to be on... talk about politics anymore, but you know, they're all, you know, this welfare and stuff holds people back. It does.
Yeah, it absolutely does.
Like, literally, you could go out and work 25 hours a week, be off of welfare, making 10% more money.
Yeah. You'll see posts on social media where people are bargaining for welfare stamps.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, bargain for a job, bargain for a gig, bargain for a side gig, get some cash. You can do whatever you want with the cash.
Yeah.
Welfare, you have to spend on food, right? So like, get some cash and then spend some on food, spend some on your power bill. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's just crazy
to
me.
Take the control.
I didn't mean to get you off topic. It just intrigues me so much, to your point that like, you almost have to try not to win in this country.
Yeah. And so...
Sorry, go ahead, Mitch.
With our job, with anything we do, the job is to go somewhere as fast as possible, right? Literally anything we do. If we go to college, we want to get out of college as fast as possible with the accreditations. If we go to trade school, we want to get out of trade school as fast as possible with the appropriate accreditations, right?
Yeah.
When we're in relationships, we want those relationships to progress as fast as possible.
Yeah, so we don't waste our time.
So we can get to the inevitable outcome. Are we going to marry this person or are they just somebody I dated, right? And so we're constantly trying to speed that stuff up, but life has a funny way of slowing that stuff down, right? In other words, in your relationships, you need certain events to happen to give you the tests that you need to find out if your spouse is going to be there forever.
My brain is so dirty. Yeah. Yes, you're correct, sir.
and so you can't rush that, right? Like you can think, okay, 85, 90% of the way that this person's probably the person I'm going to marry. But until you get into a fight about money or until you get into an argument about how to raise kids or something like that.
That you don't have or don't think you're going to have. And if like a family issue has to come up to realize, oh, pulled our cloak back here a little bit. Now we're seeing what they're actually like.
Yeah, time causes that, like life causes that timetable to slow down.
Yeah.
And
change.
So
speed up, slow down.
Right. Yeah. The same situation. You could have a relationship where maybe they're in a traumatic incident together, a car crash or something like that, where they now have to bond to make it through it. Or maybe one of their spouse or like one of their husbands or not, I say spouses or husbands, like one of their parents dies.
Yeah.
One of their parents dies and you have to work through that. Right. Or maybe you're dating somebody with a child and the child's going through a traumatic thing or passes away. And now you have to work with that spouse through that. Like sometimes life gives you tests, but those tests are to see how hard you want it. They're to see how bad you want the end result. Right.
Yeah.
And so, the ultimate thing is just keeping moving, right? And when we can, when we're healthy enough, when we have the energy, when we have the clarity, we're running. But maybe we don't have the energy. Maybe it's foggy. Maybe it's icy. Maybe it's slippery. And so we have to jog and not run. Maybe we've got a bum ankle and now we've got to slow down and walk, right? Yeah. And obviously these are metaphors like icy, slippery, foggy results to clarity. Maybe I don't have the direct vision that I need to have.
Yeah,
so I can't run. I got to walk.
Yeah.
Right. Until that clarity shows up.
It's funny because I'm walking right now.
Yeah.
Like I'm at a point in my life where I'm midlife.
Yep.
You know, like I've gotten further than I ever thought I was going to get, as financially speaking, mm-hmm. mostly, and where I'm at. And so I'm walking. I don't like, I have no direct vision forward as far as that I can sprint to. I love Tradewinds. I think Tradewinds works. It's great. It's a passion of mine.
Yep.
But is that the only avenue? I don't know.
Right.
So I'm just taking it day by day.
Yeah.
You know, just consistently moving forward. What's going to happen? My wife, she signed a 2-year contract 2 years ago, to work Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night at a new hospital that's in Blue Springs close to us. Well, her contract's up. She doesn't know what she wants to do.
Right.
Like, so our journey together it's like, okay, we're taking it day by day. You know, she's asking, what do you think I should do? And my answer is always, you do whatever you want to do and we'll make it work.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter. You want to 3 days a week, 4 days a week, 2 days a week, you know, whatever, you know, we're strong believers in our house that everyone works.
Right.
Like that's just the slow, steady, easiest path to financial independence.
Yep.
That's just what we believe. But it's like, you know, until she makes that decision, we're just taking it slow.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just, we're just at that point in our life. It's crazy because I never really believed that the older you get, the more you learn.
Right.
But it's so apparent to me now,
you know, like looking back, like, okay, so from 20 to 30, we were sprinting as hard as we could.
Right.
From 30 to 35, we were running. You know, we had Layla. We knew where we wanted to go. We knew we wanted to get her out of a suburb and into our house on some acreage so she could flourish, do this. She's doing soccer. She's doing all that. And it's like, man, just whoop.
Yep.
Just gets real slow. Okay. Now what do we do? You know, and it's just part of life.
Yeah.
You know, that's where we're at.
Yeah. And in business, it's the same way, right?
Yeah.
There are times where the sales come and the marketing hits and the jobs are flowing in, and that's when you have to run.
Let's roll, baby.
There's times where maybe you've started to analyze a couple of risks and you got to jog a little bit. You got to slow down just to make play it safe. There's times where maybe you get rocked, you get an employee quits, or you get a bill that you weren't expecting, and so now you got to walk, right?
Yeah.
There's other times where you get flat knocked on your ass, right?
You're just sitting there trying to heal.
I mean, me 2 years ago. In the same 30 days, I got blessed with $51,000 in surprise bills.
Yep.
One was from a bad accountant.
Oh, fuck.
And one was from an insurance audit. And one was 40 grand and one was 11 grand, right? And so at that time, I'm crawling, right? I can't run. I can't walk. I got to crawl. I got to slowly move forward. And so we took that problem. We broke it up into little bite-sized chunks, little weekly chunks, and we made it happen. And within 6 weeks, we were out from under that cloud, right? But that's essentially business, is we run when we can. When we can't run, we jog. When we can't jog, we walk. When we can't walk, we crawl. When we can't crawl, we fucking roll. Like,
yeah,
whatever it takes, but regardless, do not stop.
Yeah, regardless, do not stop.
The moment you stop, backwards, you quit, and the market moves away from you, right?
You know, there's the saying, if you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards.
Yep.
It's a real thing.
Very real.
Regardless of the pace.
Yep.
Like, people always think, well, you know, I've got to be like really getting after it. No, you've got to be constantly trying to move forward.
Yeah.
Regardless of the pace.
Yeah.
Regardless of how slow it's going. But if you stop and you slow down or you take steps back, you're just, it's almost like you're just giving up.
Yeah.
You know, you're giving up that momentum
most
of the time. And it just like it.
And there's times where you give up momentarily, right? And you gotta recognize that sometimes stopping to rest is crawling, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we've all dealt with it. We have some anxiety or depression or something that comes into our mind. And there's times where, like, we struggle to get out of bed. Well, success every day looks different every day. Sometimes success is getting out of bed, making the sales calls, landing the sales, going 10 for 10 or 100% and rocking it out. Sometimes success is getting out of bed to go to the bathroom and taking a shower and going back to bed.
Dude, like, that is, like, I don't. Like, just think that is a great thing to say all the time. That is a great thing to say.
It is.
Because there are days, like, literally, I, like, dude, when you're laying there and you're just like, man, I am depressed today. It is cold. I don't want to get up. There's no real reason that I have to get up early. I don't want to fucking do it.
Yeah.
Like, that is a great example.
Well, there's times where you just get so much on your mind where you need a rest.
Yeah.
You're actually if you were to get up and try to go to work, you're actually going to move backwards because you're going to snap. You're going to say something you didn't mean. You're going to behave in a way that's not acceptable. And those are the days where, like, there's your true mental health day, right?
Yeah. People don't need as many as they think they do.
You don't need as many as you think you do. And the more discipline you have, the less you'll need. But even the most disciplined people out there still need a mental health day.
Yeah.
Right?
You
can get some upper people in the military that will still go unplugged and off the radar for 24 hours and just be by themselves and collect their own thoughts.
Yep.
Maybe they're sad. Maybe they're happy. It doesn't matter. They still need that day of unplugged disconnection.
Yeah. You know, it's weird. Like, the older you get, it's kind of hard to find, like, what really gives you peace and clarity.
Yep.
And what I mean by that is what allows you to gain peace and clarity.
Yeah.
Like, I will go fishing on the boat by myself. It sucks. I got to put the boat in myself.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tie it up myself. I got to put the truck away myself. I got to, you know what I mean? But then when I'm out there, the amount of relief I feel when I'm on my own and just there are no distractions.
Yep.
I can turn that phone off and put it away and it's me, nature.
Yep.
I'm on my own. That's it. It is one of the most relaxing feelings. And I didn't even realize how much I liked it.
Yeah.
or needed it until like literally this last year.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people have a hard time doing that because they're in the habit of checking the phone 24/7. They're in the habit of worrying about their business or their job 24/7 or their kids or whatever. And believe it or not, it actually takes work to develop a new habit of disconnecting.
Well, and it takes work to disconnect.
Yeah.
When you're so ingrained and successful and there's so much going on and you're older, like it takes work to unplug 75 different things and allow your brain to be like, nope, I'm out.
Yeah, the work will always be there later.
A lot of that is mental work.
Yeah.
To literally say, I'm not going to fuck with this today.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is Field Pulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using Field Pulse. So if you'd like to check out Field Pulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
Yep. When you're younger, it's easy.
Yeah.
Four beers, bonfire, my buddies, go home. You know, it's okay, we're good.
Yep.
You get older, you got a lot on your plate, you're a successful individual. Like, it takes fucking work, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So I revived an old post that I had posted a little while ago, like 3 years ago. And this actually came to me. We were working with one of our Tradewinds clients. And he needed a couple of words of inspiration. And I remembered this post. So I went and searched Facebook and found it. And it is when we work insanely hard for something we don't believe in, it's called stress. But when we work insanely hard for something that we do believe in, it's called passion.
Yeah.
And so it's a really important thing to remember, because passion is what you want to do and where you know the results are worth the effort. Stress is where you're being forced to put in work that you don't think the results are going to be worth the effort. And so literally stress manifests because you're staring down the barrel of all the work you've put in and all the work you still have to do, knowing that the results won't be worth it.
Yeah.
And it's no, like,
that's
like
a painful thing to realize too.
It's very tough. We're going to flip this into a story about my real life this last week, on this job that we're on. So, this is passion versus stress. One of my guys sold a sewer replacement, at a customer's house. The sewer was about 110 feet long and it went across our yard, across the sidewalk, the easement, the street, and into the neighbor's yard across the street. And I've built my guys a sewer replacement pricing calculator. So if they price it wrong, it's my fault.
Yeah.
Because they're pricing it using my calculator.
Yeah.
The guy priced it using my calculator. By all rights, it should have gone well.
We call that leadership, by the way.
Yeah. and so we let the neighbor across the street know that we're going to have to be digging in their yard. And the moment we let them know, we knew this neighbor across the street was going to be a problem.
You motherfuckers.
She started trying to dictate our schedule, and we told her we're going to be there on Wednesday. And she's like, Wednesday doesn't work for me. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be home. I'm telling you, we're going to be in your yard on Wednesday.
Wednesday doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
Wait, you got like a different episode of General Hospital you want to catch? Like, what?
I don't know. So she was griping at that. We show up on Wednesday and she comes out cussing up a storm. I told you Wednesday doesn't work for me. And it's like, I don't care what your schedule is. We have a schedule to abide by.
You don't have dictation over easements.
Yeah, we're
Sorry.
Working in the easement. We can do whatever we want in here,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so she just kept causing problems and kept causing problems. And she caused a bunch of problems for the crew. You all right, Austin?
God bless you.
I think
you.
So.
That, sound, God bless that you. Sneeze sounded like it hurt.
Yeah. Ooh, he was trying to hold it in. It did not work.
It's the one of those where it's like you sneeze and like your chest just stings.
Yeah, that's
hurts.
A good one.
Yeah,
that's
we
a good
clean
one.
That microphone.
That's his mic only.
Yeah. So so she's like, she keeps coming out of the house and she's yelling at our crew and everything. And our crew had to get a little stern with her. And I've trained our crew to ignore demands from neighbors, because neighbors come in and they think they have leverage over you. They think that like they're allowing you to dig in their yard.
Yeah.
And because they're allowing you to do that, like, hey, will you spread some dirt over here? Will you dig up that stump?
No,
like,
the fuck I won't.
They act like they can get favors because we have to dig in their yard.
You got cash? I'll do whatever you need, baby. Right.
And so this lady's like telling us all these demands, and it's like, no, we're not doing any, we're not working for you.
Yeah. Right? The city statute says this on easements. That's what we abide by.
Yeah.
And here's a copy.
And we're doing everything to our knowledge. We're doing everything as right as we can. Right. And so day two of the job goes on, and it's supposed to be a 2-day job. We get into day two, we start pulling the new sewer. It's a pipe burst sewer. And it's the toughest pull we've ever encountered. It's the toughest pull the crew's ever encountered, and me, too. And I've done this for a long friggin' time.
Yes, and you are old. Correct.
And so the crew calls me, and they're like, the machine keeps moving. It's sucking into the ground. Like, something's not right. And I'm like, are we encased in concrete? And they're like, no, we're 4 or 5 feet in. We're past the footing. But it's just not moving.
Yeah.
And come to find out, long story short, we were not successful at pulling it in one pull. Because I learned something over the last few days. Very rarely is clay tile pipe ever bedded in gravel. Most of the time it's bedded straight in the earth. And when clay tile pipe is bedded in the earth, we can pipe burst through it really easily because the earth compresses.
Yeah. Gravel does not compress. Well, gravel compresses to a certain point.
It's very solid.
Yeah.
So we did not have the machine was powerful enough to pull it, but the machine kept sucking itself into the earth. And so we ended up having to like call an audible, completely abandon things, pull things from a different direction, and split the job into two pulls instead of one, because we didn't have the power to make it all in one pull.
Gotcha.
And so now we're on the job even longer. We have to dig two unplanned holes that we weren't expecting and all this stuff.
How would you, moving forward, know that if it's encased in gravel?
You wouldn't.
Yeah.
And so I didn't charge the customer extra for this, our bid for this
job. You can't.
You could. You could throw in a rock clause or an unknown.
I was going to say it would have to.
Underground condition clause.
It would have to have been talked about ahead of time.
Yeah.
Like, hey, if this is in gravel and it takes us an extra day, it's going to be this.
Yeah.
We don't think that's going to happen, but you know what I mean? You can't go back to them and be like, well, it was encased in gravel, took us an extra day. Sorry, you owe us another $2,500.
Yeah, right.
Like,
so our bid for this job was a little over 13 grand. It's like 13.3 or 13.4. And
you still made money on it.
I mean, I don't know if we made money, but I don't know if we lost money.
You made money on it.
But now that we're not, like, the neighbor was all concerned, okay, we're starting on a Wednesday. When are you going to be done? We should be done by the end of business Thursday. That was the original plan. Well, now we know we're not getting done Thursday. We're going to have to be back Friday. So the neighbor's now all kinds of upset that we're back on our job in her yard Friday when we told her we were going to be done Thursday.
What kind of mentally unstable person cares that one day, extra day, someone's in, like, if you're going to live in a suburb or in a city, those things happen.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't like it, move to the country.
Yeah. And
I hate it. That's why I'm in the country. Get out of my shit. Even that, I don't care.
The neighbor Friday, she was so upset that she called every municipality she could trying to get us in trouble. And she didn't know what angle she had, so she was just calling being a nosy Nelly, right?
How old was this lady?
60s. Maybe early 70s.
She needs to get laid.
So
that's her problem.
She called the city that we were working in and tried
where
to get
were you
us
working?
Overland Park.
OP. Yeah.
She called the city that we were working in and she tried to get us in trouble for working without a permit. And they said, we don't, like, Johnson County Wastewater controls the sewer lines, so we don't permit sewer replacements.
Yeah.
She goes, okay. So she calls Johnson County Wastewater and tries to get us in trouble for working without a permit. Now, granted, she doesn't even know if we have a permit or not. She's just looking for anything she can. No, we didn't, because you don't need one.
Yeah.
In the county limits of Johnson County, they do not require a permit for sewer replacements. They require a permit for new installations, but not replacements.
Even better.
And so then Friday, she's chewing me up one side and down the other because we're a day long on her project. And
she's looking at me, I'd be like,
on the neighbor's project.
I don't want to fucking be here.
Right. And she
goes,
it's
costing me money, bitch.
Well, where's your permit? Where's the inspectors? And I'm like, we don't need a permit. The city of Overland Park doesn't govern the sewers, and Johnson County doesn't require a permit. And she goes, well, you're right, because I've called them both.
Well, then why did you ask me, you dumb bitch?
It's just another notch on the headboard of,
yeah,
she's just out there trying to fuck somebody's life over, right?
Yeah. We call those people Democrats, so, but whatever.
Ironically, she had a Don't Tread on Me flag hanging on her garage.
Really?
Which is not typically a Democratic thing. But she had called the city of Overland Park
Stupid Republican.
Yeah. She called the city of Overland Park so many times that the city of Overland Park ends up showing up on the job.
Just to see what's happening.
Just to, like, let's go see what's going on. Holy cow.
Well, let's appease this bitch because we ain't got the time to answer the phone.
So they show up and they determine that we should have one permit. Due to the proximity that we were to the roadway, they wanted us to have a right-of-way permit. And I'm like,
okay.
And I'm like, that's
bullshit, but okay.
I'm like, that's weird. I've never, ever been required to have a right-of-way permit before. And they said, well, most of our sewers are in the backyards. And if you're in the backyard, you don't need it. And I'm like, but there's right-of-way in the backyard. There's easement in the backyard. And he goes, yeah, but we don't require them in the backyard. And I'm like, oh, okay.
What's the damn difference?
So this is a roadway permit. This isn't a right-of-way permit.
Yeah.
And because we're not under the road, I didn't think I needed it. And he goes, well, you're going to need it. And the permit's $40. But because you started work without the permit, you're going to have to pay double the permit, so it's 80.
Whoopity-doo!
And this lady's standing here, this neighbor's standing here, and she's loving it. She's thinking she got us, right?
Ooh, 80 whole dollars.
And so I look straight back at her, and I'm like, this doesn't change anything, and it actually makes the time that I'm in your yard even longer, because now I got to wait on inspections. I hope you're happy.
Yeah.
Right? And so then the inspector...
And you give no fucks about the $80.
No. It's,
$80 is...
$80 in cost on a $13,000 project? Nothing, right? So then the inspector starts giving me the rules for how we have to backfill the job now that we have a right-of-way permit. And he was like, we want all the spoils hauled off and disposed of. We want flow fill within 18 inches, then clean black topsoil, then sod. And I'm like...
What your statute says.
I said, I have never, ever been required to put flow fill in a ditch unless we're under a road. And we are not under a road. We're adjacent to it. We're next to a road.
Yeah.
But I am not under a road. And he's like, well, that's the rules. And so then the lady's like, aha, you were trying to shortcut me and blah, blah, blah. And so, like, she's just thinking she's getting one on us. The neighbor. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I tell the inspector, I'm like, can you do me a favor and can you go call your boss and get clarification on that? Because we are not under the road. And I've never, like, yeah, that's going to
happen. You've done a lot of shit in OP.
Yeah.
I'm like this ain't my first go around.
It costs thousands of dollars to haul this much dirt away, and it costs thousands of dollars for that much flow fill. And so, I mean, because we got a hole that's 4 feet wide, 7 feet long, and 10 feet deep.
That's a big hole.
That's a big hole. Yep. That's a lot of dirt to haul off.
Yep.
And that's a lot of flow fill to bring in, right? Yep. And so as he's walking away, the neighbor looks at me and she's like, I knew you were trying to play shortcuts on me. And I said, ma'am, listen here. Have you ever been to a house in the country that has a concrete septic tank in the summer? And she kind of looks at me perplexed. And I'm like, you know, where you see that dead rectangle of grass in their yard?
That's my yard.
And she was like, yeah. And I'm like, guess what's going to happen if he makes me put flow fill in your yard? Flow fill absorbs the heat and it burns the grass from the underside.
Yeah.
And you will not grow. You will not keep grass on this hole over summer.
Yeah.
That grass will be scorched and you will have a dead rectangle of grass in your yard. And
forever. Now
she's like, oh my gosh, this just keeps getting worse. And I'm like, no, it keeps getting worse because you keep trying to fuck with the system.
Yeah.
So I said, if you're lucky, he's going to come back over here and say he was wrong and I don't need flow fill.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, if you don't do flow fill, then I'm going to have a big pile of dirt in my yard forever waiting for it to settle. And I said, no.
What's forever?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I said, no, we've got a vibrating compactor. We vibrate and compact everything back in. It all goes in just like it came out. It's
You'll
tight.
Never
it
notice.
Won't settle. And she goes, vibrating compactor. Great. That's going to shake the pictures off the walls of my house. And that's going to break my sewer line.
Yeah. Maybe you should go inside and enjoy it. Because that's what you really fucking need.
And I'm like, ma'am, do you really like our customer sewer across the street? Is 18 inches under this vibrating compactor. The city sewer main's 18 inches under this compactor. Your sewer is 18 feet away. Do you really think I would use a vibrating compactor if it would stand to damage my job? Like my work? My new pipe I just put in? No. Yeah.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
So then the city inspector...
Was it just to walk behind one of those little...
No, it attaches to the excavator. Uses the full weight of the excavator to push down.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking badass.
That's a nice one.
Yeah. And so the inspector comes back over and he was like, you were right. We just needed vibrating compacted 8-inch lifts. And I'm like, well, we do 6-inch lifts. And he's like, cool. And so now the lady's like, well, great. Now I'm going to have a broken sewer. And I looked at her right then and I said, ma'am,
get the fuck out of here.
I said, there is no making you happy. Like, my presence here is making you upset. And like, you were unhappy that I was going to leave a mound of dirt in your yard. You were unhappy that I wasn't going to put flow fill in. Then you were unhappy that I was going to have to put flow fill in. And now you're unhappy that I'm vibrating, compacting, backfilling the job.
Yeah.
Like, there's literally no pleasing you, and so I'm done trying. Did
you look at her and go, this is why you're single?
Yeah. No. What's funny is her husband came out, and he stands behind her and then just kind of stands there and then walks away. Like, a husband is a complete coward.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Send your wife out there to do that stuff?
Well, no, he hates his life.
Yeah.
He's like...
You spell wife with an L. That's weird.
Yeah. He hates her.
Yeah.
He wants her. He's thinking the whole time, maybe this guy will push her ass in the fucking hole and just cover her up.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's thinking.
He's sitting in the window being like, dude, just do it.
So, do it. Do it, man. Do it.
So
punch
Friday.
Her. Do it.
Friday, we spend the whole day Friday trying to get this job pulled and it will not pull. And so now we have to like call an audible late Friday, dig a hole in their yard, get them back into some kind of draining condition. And then I told the crew, I'm like, I don't have an answer for this. I'm going to sleep on this over the weekend.
What is draining condition? A pile of gravel where the shit can go?
So we had already pipe burst 4 feet. So we made it outside of their foundation. So they were basically draining into the ditch outside their foundation for the weekend. It's no big deal. We dig a pile in our spoil pile.
You can't say anything that isn't going to make me go, ugh.
Yeah.
It's gross, man.
Yeah. We dig a little crater in this pile of spoils, and we reach down there with a bucket, and we scoop all the waste and TP out, and we put it in the pile and bury it.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Still gross.
It's still gross.
Yeah.
We're only halfway done with the story.
Yeah.
Good God, I've been here for an hour.
So now we safety fence everything off. We leave the job. We come back Monday.
Good old orange fence, baby.
And Monday, we have a new game plan, and it's working. And so we dig our additional 2 holes and we start splitting the project in half and then pulling it in reverse.
Did you know that it was encased in gravel at this point?
Oh, yeah. We knew at this point.
Okay.
And that's what I spent the weekend trying to solve was like, how do I pull a pipe through gravel?
Were you just hitting the Google machine as hard as you could hit it?
No, this was just my experience. Like, Google doesn't have answers for this. This is just experience. And so...
Challenge accepted. I will look it up after.
Maybe ChatGPT might. Maybe. But... And so basically what I decided to do was split the friction in half by splitting the job in half. And so we did a half pull and then another half pull.
Yeah.
And our machine was strong enough. Our machine was plenty strong enough. The dirt was strong enough to resist the force needed for the half pulls.
Yeah.
And so now we have our 120-foot sewer. It's a 110-foot job. We build a 120-foot sewer and pull it into place. So now we have our full sewer built. But now we're pulling it in reverse, so the sewer has to lay across the neighbor's yard and across their driveway and across their neighbor's yard and across their neighbor's driveway, okay? And we've done this countless times. It's no big deal. If somebody needs to get in and out of their driveway, we just walk over there, pick the pipe up. They drive right underneath it.
Yeah, no big deal.
And we let them know, honk your horn if you're coming back by again, and we'll move the pipe. It won't be here for long, right? So we have the pipe laid across her driveway, and we call that
being... productive members of society.
Yeah.
Like, we all have to work forward together.
Yeah. Right? I'm going to help you. Yeah. You're going to help me. Right. Yeah.
When your sewer breaks, I will do the same for you.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so, and when the city was out there before, they misspoke because the sewer is about 18 feet off the roadway. They misspoke and said
it's 18 feet. Yeah.
It's halfway up in her yard.
Yeah. They're out of space.
Yeah.
It's so, probably only 10 foot deal. 15 foot.
They misspoke to her and told her the easement's 11 feet. And I'm like, well, that's weird. The sewer main's outside of the easement. And I have to work on the main.
Yeah.
And so she wanted to argue about that. But so we have the pipe laying across her driveway and she sees the pipe in her driveway. She gets in her car, opens the garage, backs up and tries driving over the pipe. She's trying to damage her stuff. And she can't get her car over the 4-inch HDPE pipe.
No.
And so she gets out of her car and she starts cussing and yelling at us and everything. And so I run over there, play dumb, play coy. And I'm like, oh, if you're trying to leave, we'll lift this real quick for you and you can drive out. And she goes, no, I don't want it. I don't want to leave. I want this pipe gone. And I'm like, well, it'll be gone in an hour or two, or we're getting it pulled into place right now. And she goes, I don't care in an hour. I want it gone right now. And I'm like, well, I can't do that. And she goes, well, you're the owner of the company. You can do whatever you want. And I'm like, yeah, And does what that, I want to do is pull this pipe in and get my job done.
Yeah, what I want to do is actually hit you with a rock and push you in the pile and then cover you over.
So then she started and pulling
help
up this,
everyone else in society.
Because the pipe was like 15 feet off the road. She was like, you're outside of your 11 feet. You're in violation. You're trespassing on my property and blah, blah, blah.
Call the cops. Go ahead.
And I said, ma'am, the easement is laid around the utilities. The utilities don't get installed in the easement. They literally install the utilities and then recognize where they are. And then they plot the easement around those.
Yeah.
And so if we're over the main, we're in the easement. And the main, we're standing right on top of the main. This pipe's on the main. Your car's on the main. Technically, your car's in an easement right now. Not against the law, but I'm just saying,
yeah,
we're sharing spaces here.
Yeah.
And she wanted to argue, and she, you know, this is how loony she is. She's like, well, what's next? You're going to want to put this pipe in my kitchen?
Yes. Yes, I am. What? I'll be back in an hour.
You keep talking it, Will.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you keep talking, bitch.
And so she wanted to like start rehashing all their arguments all over again. And I'm like, ma'am, I don't have hours to waste out here. If I spend 5 hours complaining and arguing with you, that's 5 more hours I'm in your front yard. And she was getting irate and she was cussing and yelling and everything. And so I tell her, I'm like, if I were you, I would shut the fuck up and I would go inside and let me do my job, because that's the only thing that's going to get me out of your yard as fast as possible.
She doesn't want you out of your
no,
her
she
yard.
Just wants to gripe.
Yeah, she wants to have something to do.
This is fun for her.
Yeah, this
she's
is fun.
Been yeah, she's been sitting around.
Some men just want to watch the world
for
burn.
For 2 years, some men do just want to watch the world burn. This I'm is, moving closer to that.
Yeah.
That's
a
great Joker quote.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that scared her, because I was like pointing in her face and everything.
Batman quote. Sorry.
And she was like, it looks like I got you upset. And I'm like, no, actually, I'm not upset at all. But I've realized that the only way to get a message through to you is if I raise my voice and point my finger in your face and make you think I'm upset. So you go on inside thinking I'm upset and thinking you've pulled one over on
me. Watch your general hospital and shut the hell up.
She goes, I'm going to go inside and I'm going to call the police. And I'm like, please do.
Let's get it.
Yeah.
Let's get it.
Here's how you know you're dealing with an unruly neighbor. The police show up. And the police tell you, I've called the city inspector. I'm going to let them deal with this. I'm not dealing with her.
Yeah, because she probably calls all the time.
Yep.
Do you think that, if you dial 911, it goes one place. If you dial the police department, it goes to another place. And those police departments have a list of people and addresses. And if you think I'm making this up,
I know for a fact
you're
not, because my neighbor two doors up is on that list.
Yeah. And they're like, don't fuck with this person. If you go do this, this person is continually calling about nothing. Like, they know.
Yeah.
People are not stupid.
Yeah.
Okay?
So we talked about this a long time ago on the show, where my son got charges pressed against him for lighting an M80 in a vacant lot.
I still feel like I'm going to have that neighbor up your street.
How did the story
like, I'm
end?
Still probably going to have to punch that guy.
Right.
I feel like one of these days, maybe. Mitch is going to be like, hey, dude, like, this guy's still fucking with me. And I'm like, we got to go covert
how did
on this
it end
guy.
Just for the...
Not that I just
the pipe burst job.
Yeah,
so we pulled
kind of
it. We pulled it in reverse halfway to our mid hole.
You know what, Austin? Just stop your illogical thinking. Logical thinking.
No, we pulled it in reverse halfway to the middle hole, and then instead of doing a whole new pull, we just left things as they were, and we reran the cable through the top half of the sewer, and then we just kept pulling the same sewer across the middle hole to the first hole, to the top hole. And I got a really
it's just less resistance.
We broke the resistance into half.
Yeah.
And plus the sewer had a couple of 45s in it, and we can burst around 45s, but not around 45s in clay tile embedded in gravel, as we now know.
Yes.
But
well, you could, but the machine would have to be humongous.
Yeah. I got a really cool video with my phone of the pipe bursting head and the sewer crossing the open ditch, because you never actually get to see this thing traveling through the earth.
No, you
it's always underground, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, I'm going to take a video of this. This is kind of cool. You never really get to see
this.
Was
Austin there?
No.
Isn't he your videographer?
He is, but I think
where the fuck
was
he at?
Oh, we're not. Can you imagine this neighbor if we stick a video camera on scene?
No, to be fair.
Oh, my God. She would have had the FCC involved. She probably would have called Kamala and Trump.
Calm down. I was just joking, man. Relax.
I was with John on Friday.
Having a good time, not worrying about what these fuckers are doing.
I was hearing it from his perspective. So he called Noah and called Chris, and they just sounded like defeated because it was Friday.
This just sounded like their lives were over.
And like, yeah.
So
it's like, man, fuck.
So Monday.
No, finish the pulling story.
Yeah.
So you take a video, it's going across.
Yeah. Well, Monday I get to the job as we're like, I gave them texted a whole list of instructions for how to proceed. I had some things I had to take care of. I get out there like at 11 o'clock on Monday, and they've already dug the extra holes and they're getting ready. And I show up on the job and I can see it in their eyes. They look defeated. They sound defeated. They're moving slow. And I'm like, you guys ready for lunch? And they're like, I don't know. We got a lot of work to do. And I'm like, let's take lunch. And so I took them out to Tanner's Bar and Grill, had some lunch.
I love Tanner's.
Got their mind back in the right space, talked some positivity into them and everything else. And so at this point, we had been on this job for 3.5 days and all we had installed was 4 feet of pipe. That afternoon, we
installed...
Sounds
like a Smedley job.
That afternoon, in the next 4 hours, we installed 110 feet of pipe in 4 hours.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show you that when your mind's in the right place, you're good. Now, the reason we're talking about all of this is because if we can't run, we jog. If we can't jog, we walk. If we can't walk, we crawl. If we can't crawl, we roll. But whatever, we don't stop.
Yeah.
And this is one of the first projects I've ever come across where I... like wanted to quit. I had desires and urges to just quit. Like chalk it up to a loss, don't charge a customer a dime, walk off the job and all this. But I knew, for one, I know that's not the right way to handle it in business.
Well, that's not the...
I'm going to get crushed in reviews. I'm going to get crushed in referrals. Like we tried, we gave up. Like that's not right.
As a moral person that wants to see something through, that's not the right way. You just can't do it. No, I said I'm gonna do this,
right?
And I'm gonna fucking see it through.
Yeah. And so but like I was kind of in a funk all weekend, because at the weekend we were now 3 days into a two-day job, and
that shit weighs on you.
And we had only installed 4 feet of pipe.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't have a concrete solution. I did not know what it was going to take to figure it out.
Yeah.
And so I'm really good about not making emotional decisions and sleeping on things. And so I sleep on it over the weekend. I got Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night to sleep on it and just think about it in a non-charged atmosphere without the neighbor pestering me and all this stuff. And so I came up with a plan to pull it in reverse and split it into two pulls, thinking that would work. And I'm like, if this doesn't work, I don't know what we're going to do. But like, I've never had a job that almost sunk me, but this might be it, right? Because we didn't bid the job to cut across the road and dig it the old fashioned way. We may have to do that on this one. Like,
It wouldn't have sunk you, but it'd cost you.
Yeah. And so, you know, this is what kept going through my mind the whole time. Run, jog, walk, crawl, roll, don't stop, right? And so, like, over the weekend, I'm fucking rolling. Like, the slowest roll you could ever imagine, because, like, I'm just having a hard time getting traction and getting momentum. So, the morning, they go out there, they dig the extra holes, they get everything kind of set. And the hard thing is with bursting, we had to flip the cable around. It, the bursting cables are directional. They have an anchoring point on one end that you attach the new sewer to.
Yeah.
And so, now that we're flipping the direction, we have to get a new cable in. Well, when you start trying to burst... the cable breaks itself out of the side of the pipe. It slices into virgin earth if it goes around bends or curves or anything.
Yeah.
And so it's not like at that moment, your old sewer is ruined. Your old conduit is ruined. We use the sewer as a conduit to feed the cable through.
Yeah.
Well, the moment we break out the side of the pipe, it's not like we can just pull that cable out. Like we have to use the machine to pull it out because it's embedded in earth.
Yeah.
And so I came up with this.
You gotta have some serious hydraulic force at that point.
Well, and I came up with this idea to use the bursting machine to pull one cable out and pull another cable in at the same time. We overlapped them together and gorilla taped them together. And so I pulled one out and pulled another one in the other direction. We have two cables. And so that worked. And that was like the first win we had had on this entire job. It was like, all right, we got the cable flipped. And then I had borrowed a long time ago at another company I used to work at. I made a steel plate that was 3 feet wide by 4 feet tall for when the bursting machine tries to suck into the earth. We made this big plate to give it more of a footprint, more resistance. Yeah. So I called up that company. They actually sold other equipment to somebody. They gave me the number they sold it to. The guy was nice enough to let me borrow the plate. I'm taking him out to lunch next Wednesday because he was nice enough to let me borrow the plate.
Good for you.
I
don't even get fucking lunch.
Well, you can come too, cause he wants to talk about trade wins. So what are you doing next Wednesday?
Nothing.
All right. Lunch on Mitch.
Lunch on trade wins.
Yeah.
No, lunch on Smedley.
There you go.
Wrong so, team.
It better be good. If you think I'm going to Johnny's, you're fucking high. We're going somewhere.
We'll
good.
Go somewhere nice.
All right.
But,
hey, Kata, gotta win. It's my first win in months.
So I borrowed this plate, and that plate had to, like, it worked masterfully. It worked like just as good as it should. Yeah. It's half inch thick steel. Plate weighs about 300 pounds. Like I say, it's 3 feet by 4 feet. One person can't pick it up by themselves.
Yeah.
It takes two people to lift it. One person can stand it up and walk it across the ground, but one person cannot carry this thing. Yeah. If you carry it, you might carry it three or four steps before you're done, and you're probably going to lose a toe.
Or blow your tane out.
Yeah.
Continue.
And so we put that plate in, and we started pulling, and that plate sinks into the earth, but then it stops, and all of a sudden the sewer starts moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
And we start breathing a sigh of relief. And then the sewer ends up on the other side of the road in our ditch. And it's like, cool. The biggest financial risk of this entire job is now behind us because we have a pipe under the road. If I have to dig all the way across her yard,
who cares?
I'm okay.
Yeah, who cares?
Right. The road is a $25,000 hit.
Yeah.
Cost $25,000 to dig under a road.
Yeah.
So,
I know.
So now we refeed the cable back through the upper half of the line, didn't even take the bursting head off, and we just kept pulling the exact same pipe all the way through the whole journey. Split it up into two half pulls to result in one full pull, and it worked fine.
Yeah.
And the guys got wrapped up on the job yesterday, and everything's good. So we're in the clear, right? Two-day job turned into a five-day job. Had the cops called on me. Cops said nothing, like, you know. And the inspectors,
we
gained a lot of trust with the inspectors. The inspectors understood, like, they weren't even mad that we were trying to do the job without a permit. They understood why we've never needed one before and why we didn't think to buy a right-of-way permit for this one. It's
$80.
Right.
Who gives a fuck?
Would you believe that that lady left 20 voicemails for the inspector over the weekend?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez,
yeah, I would.
From psychotic.
From what you told me, yes.
Yeah.
When I was in John's
Those people deserve to have their houses burned
down. When I was on John's Van on Friday and he was calling Chris and Noah, like, it was at the end of his day, and he's like, so I'm done with my day. Like, do I need to go out there? And you just hear him go, dude, I don't know. He's like, so where are you guys
dude,
at?
Dude, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm
they
like,
were defeated.
I've never heard him like that defeated.
Yeah. And like, again,
it happens
another,
to all of us. I've been there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Another window into this psychotic lady. So we call in for locates at our house, our customer's house, and the house across the street.
You have to.
And the locates come in and mark everything. And
it's
we show
the
up,
law.
Yeah. So we show up to dig, and there's nothing located on her side of the street, the neighbor's side of the street.
Already pulled the flags, thrown them away, and mowed the grass.
There's no flags. Like, there's a single flag that says okay, to say we're clear, right?
Okay.
And so she comes out and she was like, you're not going to start digging, are you? And I'm like, yeah, we called in for locates. We're going to start digging. She goes, no, there's utilities underneath there. And I got a sprinkler system underneath there. And she's like, I want my sprinkler system located before you dig. And I'm like, they can't locate sprinkler lines. They're plastic, unlocatable.
Yeah. I mean, unless they run ground wire with it, I don't know. What do you want me to do?
Right. And so then she's like, well, there's a Comcast line underneath there. And I'm like, well, we called in for locates and they didn't mark anything. And she goes, well, I promise you there is. And I'm like, all right, I believe. Like, keep in mind, this is our first day. We didn't know exactly how psychotic she was yet. We knew she was tough.
If I cut it, they'll fix it because it's not located.
Right. And so we called the locate company back and we're like, hey, the neighbor across the street said that there's a line here. And we're just wanting to double check before we start digging. And they check their maps and they tell us over the phone, no, there's nothing there. Our maps show nothing.
Yeah.
And so now we've got two all clears from the locate company and a neighbor that promises there's something there. We start digging. Of course, what happens? Bam, you knock out a Comcast line. Okay. And she's like, I told you so. Why didn't you listen to me? And blah, blah, blah. And this was my first.
Look, bitch, I did. I called them. They said no.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do?
This is my first like tough conversation with her. I said, ma'am, there comes a point where we have to act legal. We have to talk legal and we have to operate in a way that will stand up in a court of law. And if I'm standing up next to a judge and he's asking how I damaged this line and I tell him, well, the neighbor said, the judge ain't going to care. But if I tell him that I gave two opportunities to the professional company that's supposed to locate lines and they said you're in the clear and then I still hit it, now all the liability's on them.
Yeah. And they just have to fix their line. And to be honest, Comcast doesn't really even give a shit anymore.
Yeah. Well,
they come out there and they
so
done.
The person next door to the unruly neighbor, she has medical conditions. And so she has what's called a lifeline.
Ooh.
So it's like a higher priority internet service, right?
So they come right out.
So they come right out and they get it all fixed. Well, our unruly neighbor, she's like getting mad on her neighbor's behalf. You cut her lifeline and blah, blah, blah. No, we didn't cut her lifeline. Like, they didn't locate her lifeline.
Yeah.
Had they located it, we wouldn't have hit it.
Yeah. Should I have brought out a spoon and like dug with the spoon until I found it?
Right.
Because of your hearsay? Like, all I can do is call and ask. Like, what do you want me to do?
So So, like I say, this was one of the first jobs where I was almost defeated, and I never acted defeated in front of the guys. And I know like the defeating nature wasn't from the neighbor. Like I can deal with unruly neighbors. You just literally tell them to shut the fuck up.
No, it was that the job was so difficult.
It was the job was so difficult. And there was a moment of time, about 48 hours, where I did not know the solution.
Yeah.
And that's tough for somebody who's done as many pipe bursts as I have to come across one where I don't know how to solve it. That was really tough.
Yeah.
And so
that's a gut check moment.
We slowed things down. We rolled, we crawled, we split it down and we got it done. Right. And we wrapped up the job late last night, got everything all squared away. Inspectors satisfied their permit. They watched us compaction backfill and do all their things. Like,
did they stand out there and watch compaction backfill? Yep. It's because that bitch was calling.
It's because she was calling. Yeah.
Hey, here's a great spot to watch the compaction fill in. Just right down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great
view. You should get in the hole.
Yeah.
Make for sure.
Yeah.
Cover that bitch up, dog. And the inspector just gives you the thumbs up.
Her head pops like a melon.
Good job, buddy.
Yeah.
And he just walks away.
Yeah. So, and what's funny, like Danielle, I think all women do this to some point. Danielle likes a little bit of drama. They want the tea, right? They want the gossip.
She come with you?
So she came with me on two occasions.
I don't know.
Because she was just hoping that lady was going to... And the lady never came outside when Danielle was there. And first, Danielle's like, dang.
She recognized, like...
I can't decide if it's a good thing or not, but I'm not going to tell Danielle she can't come.
I can't decide if I should fucking crush your stones for that or not.
No, it's not my
your
stones.
Your wife loves drama. You're like, she likes a little... No, she loves it.
Yeah.
She feeds into it.
But
it's her lifeblood.
She also... It also makes her loins burn whenever she watches me run an excavator.
It doesn't.
So.
No, first off.
You can come to the job and watch me excavate because I know what's happening tonight.
First off, that has nothing to do with anything.
Well,
she's insane and so are you.
Well, she's a redhead I married one. So, yeah.
Well, you're both insane. We all know this is as a fact.
That would have been a great tactic, though, because then like Danielle could keep her at bay and say, okay, guys, let's do our thing. Danielle's got it. Like,
yeah. First off. Danielle probably would have went in, had tea with her, become best friends, and then Mitch would have been mad as fuck.
Nope. Not this lady. So what's funny is that the neighbor and our customer used to be fairly good acquaintances, and now they don't like each other because our customer realized
this
all
bitch
the hoops
is crazy.
The neighbors tried to put us through.
Yeah.
So, end all be all, the job was about $13,400. We stuck to our original bid price. The customer was ecstatic last night whenever we presented him with the final bill, and it was to the penny the exact amount we bid. Yeah. They were like, I just knew the cost of this job was going to double. And on one hand, you're thinking, dang, I could have gotten more money out of it. But on the other hand,
Company of integrity.
I want the brag-worthy experience of they ran into hell and high water and a neighbor that just wouldn't quit, and they didn't raise their price at all. These guys are awesome.
Yeah.
And
I can see Spencer right now dumping 5 gallons of gas around that old lady's house.
Yeah.
We're getting our money.
Keep in mind, too, like when
we
sold
a house, I haven't egged a house in a while.
When we sold this job, we promised our customer that we would break a hole in their basement and dig a hole in the neighbor's yard. We promised them that we wouldn't even dig in their yard. And then when shit went south and we had to dig two holes in their yard to make this happen, to me, I'm like, all right, I'm already giving you a worse, like the sewer product is better, but the installation and what you're left with is worse than what I promised. I don't want to add insult to injury by raising the price and leaving your yard like shit.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, we don't leave their yard like shit. We put it back as best we can, but we're also not landscapers. So I'm not going to say it's final grade. But it's not going to settle. It's flat. So
Daniel comes running out to you after she confronts her. Like, we got to leave right now.
We got to go. Yeah. We got to fucking go.
So
what'd you do, Daniel? Nothing.
I've said that before. We got to go and we got to go right now.
This is also a testament to not burning bridges, right? So like I burned a bridge with the neighbor, but the neighbor, let's be honest, that bridge was never there. With the neighbor, like that neighbor was never going to call
us. Yeah, that doesn't count.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like the previous employer that I had that I'm able to call up and borrow their equipment from, I still have a great relationship with them. They would have let me borrow it had they had it. They didn't have it. They had sold it to a former employee who's starting his own plumbing company. And they were gracious enough to give me his number. And so I call up the guy and he's like, hey, I've heard about you doing this thing with Tradewinds. So yeah, you can borrow the plate. And let's have a conversation about Tradewinds, right? So like all none of that would have happened if I decided to give up, if I decided to not even crawl.
Yeah.
Right. I wouldn't have had to call my former employer, wouldn't have met this other guy, wouldn't have borrowed the plate, wouldn't have made a customer happy. Royally would have pissed off the neighbor now, because now I've dug a hole in their yard and I'm abandoning it.
See ya.
Right.
Peace.
So there's a lot to be said about even when the going gets tough, the tough keeps moving. And it doesn't matter the speed at that moment. It doesn't matter the speed that you keep moving. It's that you keep moving. It's that you're stepping over hurdles instead of jumping over them. It's that you're like rolling over hurdles instead of jumping over them.
A lot of guys want to, you know, when shit gets tough, they want to abandon it and move sideways instead of forward.
Right.
And it's like, no, okay. I see you don't want to burn the $200 here. You don't $1,200 here. No, you burn that $1,200 and move forward.
Yeah.
You have got to continually be moving forward. Yeah. If not, you're just giving up. And
yeah,
that's the first sign of this ain't going to happen. Well, you're not going to make it.
And here's where this thing comes full circle is the company actually makes more money from here forward, because I learned a couple of things about the nature of this job and the risks that we're exposed to on under road sewers and long sewers. And so I actually retooled our pipe bursting calculator, the calculator the guys use to develop the price for these pipe bursts.
Oh, okay.
I retooled that calculator to where now we, depending on length, we get paid more money. The longer they are, the more risks we have. So we need more money for that. And then we have a flat fee for when it goes under a road. If we're going under a road, it adds basically $1,500 to the job. And how that $1,500 is paid out is like the guys get a decent portion of it too. But going under a road is an inherent $25,000 risk, because if something happens and that pipe burst fails under the road, now I have to dig the road up, and that's $25,000.
Yeah.
So it's basically a law of averages of,
well, it's an insurance policy.
Yeah.
Too.
If I do
over time.
Yeah. If I do about 12 or 15 of these jobs under a road smoothly and charge the extra $1,500 for it being under a road,
it pays for the next one.
And then if I have one, I've never had one fail under a road, but if I have one fail under a road, I've now been charging extra for it and can pull it off.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
but there's a real life example of run, jog, walk, crawl, roll, but don't stop. Right.
I love it, man.
So we entered that job running. We walked away from that job rolling, but we still walked away from that job.
Crawled in the middle.
Yep. So,
fuck.
That's about all we have for this week. If you guys want more information on Tradewinds, click on the link in the description of this show. We talk about all of this shit in depth and for how it matters to you in your business, your unique problems, your unique financial situations, your market, your people, your everything. Also, make sure to check out Field Pulse. And make sure to check out Empower Payments, our other two sponsors of the show. Those guys are badass. Empower Payments, I use Empower Payments. We save so much money with them.
They're great.
It's unreal. And they donate a lot to charity and everything else.
Brady's a bad
charity
motherfucker.
Charity of your choice, even.
Yeah. Brady's a bad motherfucker. I like the shit out of him.
Yeah. So until next week, guys, we will see you later.
See ya.